Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the OIG Roundtable. I am Eric Rubenstein, Senior Director of Litigation and Fraud, Waste, Abuse, here with my two partners in crime, Wade McFall, retired Assistant Special Agent in Charge from the LA Field Office and now a manager on our investigative team, and Matt Kachansky, the Payment Integrity Director here, former Northeast DUPIC Director and former Special Agent in Charge from the OIG. So today we want to talk about, we want to continue to talk actually for the SIU people and people in the coding and billing departments, all of that, particularly if you're doing anything like practice management. I know we've been getting a lot of people listening and tuning in that are in practice management, necessarily SIU, because they're interested in where fraud, waste, abuse, compliance is going. But one of the things that that we think is a pretty important piece of the puzzle, which is becoming much more prevalent now, is this intersection when it comes to collaboration, particularly with data and visualization of data. And, you know, I was just saying before we got on the recording, investigators love to see things in visual type depictions versus in spreadsheets. Although I think in today's world, a lot of people that are in the SIU investigative space, OIG agents and the like, spreadsheets are a working piece of the puzzle. You have to be conversant in them. But, you know, I always like to say also investigators are like guys. We have shiny object syndrome. We like to see things. It's visual. The visual things really get us going because you can work with things that are visual a lot better. So wait, let's talk about that because, you know, you can have instances where people may not be great with Excel, but when you get these graphics and these visual depictions, it kind of gives, sometimes it gives you an aha moment, but also a lot of these tools let you play with the data from that visualization, right? You have a graph, you can move things, change things. And that really, becomes a big thing. And not that I want to pick on Wade because you and Matt being older than me, maybe your Excel skills are okay, but they're certainly not what some of our younger SIU investigators are. And obviously now things like ChatGPT and some of the AI functions really do help that. But having that ability to look at things in a visual way from a graphic perspective can really help to facilitate your investigations, but also helps to facilitate having those conversations with other divisions, departments, and external users.
Yeah, we used to always have kind of, it wasn't really a saying, but whether it be trying to pitch a case to a prosecutor, or if you're thinking ahead to ultimately, you know, having a jury understand, you know, what the issues are and follow along with what can be complex issues, we used to always talk about it, like explain it to them like they're a bunch of middle school kids. It should be broken it down into simple terms so they don't get confused and they can follow. It's not saying that, you know, talking to somebody that doesn't have the intelligence to follow some of this complex stuff, but it's much more easy to talk about it in simpler terms. There's like a certain art to that as opposed to getting lost in the weeds and losing your audience. So, and visualizations are one way to do that. It can be something to keep you focused on the main idea and not get too far off in the weeds. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I think you kind of alluded to this, Eric, but I've never heard anybody say that they understand complex data relationships and formulas and complex schemes, but they don't understand the graphic visualization of those. It's like, even if you have that mind that is able to process these complex things, a visualization always helps bring it home. It goes back to the old picture's worth a thousand words situation, you know.
Yeah, it's a great point. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is oftentimes, because we've been doing this for as long as we have, you get sometimes lost in the sauce, so to speak, right, with vernacular and terminology. You know, I do a lot of expert reports with law firms. I'm working on one right now that's a bit of a behemoth. And it, after about an hour or two of writing and reading, you realize like you have to go back and talk about things as if you're talking to, you know, you talk to me like I'm a fifth grader, but there's a lot of truth in that. You have to really be able to convey your premise in a way that is going to be appealing to your audience. And visualizations tend to be the way to do that. And we see that a lot now with the way that we're doing a lot of our cases when we make presentations and we talk about patterns and the like. But, you know, Wade, one of the things you got to keep in mind, right, is sometimes your audience may not be inordinately conversant in the topic that you're conversant with. And we're not even talking about using the vernacular, you know, CMS or CPT or HCPCS. Sometimes it's just a matter of being able to say to someone, hey, this person is an outlier. And they, you know, can you explain to me how? And you show them visually, well, this provider is billing it. Here's a graph that shows they're here and all of their peers are here. That's a very simple graph. And those are the kind of things that become real easy take homes where you can almost not persuade, but you can make your point a lot more clear by using some of these visualizations. It certainly helps when you're talking to people that are outside of our everyday world, right?
Yeah, and there are certain products that are out there. I know with the OIG, they used to use, maybe they still do, I'm not sure, but they used i2 Analyst Notebook, which is a great tool. It's a little bit more complex than some of the others like Visio or Tableau or some of those, even like Google Charts kind of situation. But the good thing about Analyst Notebook was most of the agents got familiar enough with it that they could upload their claims data or whatever the database might be. And it was pretty user-friendly where you could figure out what types of charts you wanted. And if it was new to you, you could go to some of the i2 experts, all the SCRS guys, the computer seizure people used to be a little bit more trained and a little bit more expert than the agents were, but you could explain to them in, you know, common vernacular what you're looking for. You know, I want a chart that shows, you know, my physician, it compare like the beneficiary population and the relationship between two physicians, or you could explain it in just common terms and they would come up with a chart or a graph. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what I had in my mind. It's harder to explain it in, you know, regular English terms as opposed to seeing the graph that they come up with. And then that not only helps you focus on the investigation, but other people who are going to help you with the case. It might be coworkers or, like I said, prosecutors, whoever, even your management, to show them what it is you're doing. Those charts are just invaluable as opposed to trying to explain very complex ideas. So it's not only good for like the referral, but if you have an idea of what you want to portray in your investigation, the charts can always be a welcome tool as opposed to just trying to explain it and go around in circles like I'm doing right now trying to explain the actual chart. So they're very beneficial.
No, that's exactly right. You know, and what you're kind of alluding to, this software program called i2 or Analyst Notebook, which does these visual depictions. For those of you that are users of Accurint, you will see that they've kind of built in a version of that into link analysis showing this. And, you know, Wade and I are actually getting ready in a couple of weeks. We're going to be doing a presentation, training presentation for one of our SIU clients that we do a regular cadence of training for. And we're going to be talking about shell and phantom companies. And that's one of the things that, you know, we're going to be bringing out is the importance of being able to, when you have this visual depiction, it's much easier to say, hey, this shell company is actually owned by this person, and kind of show all of those tentacles that are out there. And whether that visualization is done with something like Visio, which is a Microsoft product, or i2 Analyst Notebook, or even in PowerPoint, you know, you can do these things in Word, PowerPoint, you know, even in Excel to an extent you can do them. So there are some, as they call CODIS, commercially off-the-shelf products to do this, to help create those. But now, Matt, I want to go to you, because part of this, which then gets the other half of this, is that when you're collaborating with your auditing team and your investigative team, if you're lucky enough to have maybe an investigative analyst who's looking at, for example, data, right? We've got somebody who's currently an investigator who's likely moving over to an analyst position, where they're kind of working in a little bit of a vacuum. They're just in the data, playing with the data, doing data things, and then reporting those findings to an investigator, where you're having that collaboration. But collaboration doesn't always mean three people sitting in a room at a desk talking. It means working together in some way, but everybody's kind of working on their piece of the puzzle. When you have that visualization and you have the ability to have that as part of your investigative tool belt, you're able to share information faster, move cases, vet your cases, do all the things that you need, because people can easily look at, say, the findings of data and say, okay, this is where we need to focus it. And that really does foster both collaboration, but also case management, case movement, and helps with potentially even reporting. You're still on mute, Matt.
I was agreeing with you, which that's stopped me from saying it.
Yeah, I'm sure what you were saying was so important that you just shut yourself up. So, yeah, good.
But I was going to start with a couple of examples. One, going to what Wade was talking about, just the pure visualization of a complex case. I was case agent way back when on an FDA bribery case, and it was very complex. Multiple companies, different drug applications, X number of chemists, so many players, you know, it was very complex. And the prosecutor was trying to figure out a way to introduce the evidence to a jury that would make sense to them. So he created a storybook. It was just a blank chart on the wall that every time you'd present a piece of evidence, here's how it started. Bang, it went up on the wall. And then the arrow would go to the next piece and the next piece. And at the end of it, his summation at the end of the case was, let's follow the trail. You know, and it was just brilliant.
Wow. It's almost like a storyboard for when they write a movie. Yeah, it's like
a cartoon storyboard
or like the layout that they'll do when they're talking about a movie or a TV show or something, like when you see these documentaries. But that's a phenomenal way to do it. Yeah, were there stick figures involved?
He was the U.S. attorney, so he had people actually draw things. But the other is, you know, visualization and any type of tool that you're using to better communicate not just helps with communication. I think it helps and Wade, you alluded to this, it helps the investigator focus in on what the thing is. Because you can be involved in something so complex that it's these patients with these benefit with these providers, and these providers are owned by this management company, blah, 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 blah. And you just get lost until you visualize it. And then you're like, oh, this makes sense. Here's the hub of the wheel, and here's the spokes, and here's where I've got to go. And you can create an investigative plan based on that. And then part of that plan then is, how do I involve other people at what point to help this case along the way, whether that be, you know, auditors, medical reviewers, data analysts, other field investigators. And it really does a great job in helping you present the case to others. Like, this is where this is. This is where you're going to focus your work, because this is connected to this and this and this. And they can visualize it, and they can then, I guess, contextualize the work that they're going to be doing and make it more focused on what you really need them to do.
Well, that also then lends itself to this within that collaboration. It's like, you know, I like to say, like, you know, Wade McFall should only be doing Wade things. Matt Kachansky should be doing Matt Kachansky things. When you start to bring in this collaborative thing, and, you know, we have actually started to move very strongly to that, right? Our SIU teams are based upon the plans that they're doing, right? We have, you know, people that have certain levels of expertise, and those are the things they do. You know, you've got to do the things that are within your wheelhouse. If we have somebody that's really good at doing the data analysis and doing those reviews, then that's their focus. And it really does. It also then creates this, not bifurcation, but what it does is we're creating kind of layers, right? A data analyst is doing the data piece and then saying to the investigator, okay, here's where I'm seeing the issue. The investigator can then say, okay, let me get those records, and then take those records and give them to an auditor, and then say to the auditor, okay, here's the issue that we're investigating because the data shows this. Here's a visual depiction of what that data looks like. And then it lets the auditor understand what their focus is so that they're not just throwing things on the wall to see what sticks. It's not an investigator kind of just picking at the scab to see where it bleeds. Right, it's these targeted cases that then creates efficiencies, which allow, from the SIU perspective, whatever it may be, tangible ROI, intangible ROI. It helps with creating a workflow that gets rid of some of the backlog, because these visual depictions create efficiencies and create collaboration that may not have existed before. And, you know, and I know, and you're playing with a lot of the data yourself on a lot of the plans, and you've used Visio for a lot of our work. These are off the shelf. So let's wrap up as we kind of run out of time. Let's talk about that. The cost for some of these collaborative tools is zero or minimal, because we already have them, right? So let's talk about some of those things.
Yeah, you've got Google Maps, you've got Visio, which is part of an office suite. You've got any type of Google search, you know, the Google searches, the Google connects, all of those things are available open source. And you can use them to, I'll give you an example of one that we did in New York, where we were looking at, we were following the Bennies to go in all these different providers every day. And they're all over the place in New York. We used Google Maps, put it all together in a nice map that shows each of the locations, how many patients were there, what the distance was between them. And then for efficiency, then we were able to divide the teams up by geographic location, where they could go to X number of places per day as on-sites, because these places were close together. And they knew ahead of time where the places were, who was supposed to have been there, what days they were there, and they were able to go and do efficient on-sites and not allowing the providers any time to prepare for.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty, yeah, that is awesome. And those are some of those tools. Now, you know, the thing is, people just need to understand that when you've got these tools, you just sometimes just need to invest a little bit of time to figure them out. So I recently saw somebody had done something where they took a spreadsheet of addresses. And they were able to, with Excel, plug in a column for latitude and longitude locations for those addresses. And not with Google Maps, I think it was probably Bing Maps, because it's a Microsoft product, they were able to integrate that spreadsheet into Bing Maps and create a visualization where they overlaid a spreadsheet of addresses into the map and then put the two together. Right. So it really is just a matter. And, you know, you can do that. You can go to ChatGPT and you can put in how to do that. You can look online, look and do some of those things. But a lot of these tools people don't realize is that there's low cost or no cost, or in some of the cases where it's either no cost or low cost, sometimes it's just a matter of, it's just time. Play with it. Hardware, when you play with hardware, it breaks. When you play with software, it works. So you just have to play with it to kind of do that. But that's a great example. What that does for you as an SIU manager, or when you're at the UPIC, is it creates efficiencies in your on the ground investigators. Your boots on the ground investigators aren't driving from here to here to here to here. I mean, we know when we were working as field agents, sometimes the worst part of your day was getting from point A to point B to point C, because you didn't plan out your day, because you just didn't really have the ability to figure out if I went A, C, B, D, that was a lot more efficient than A, B, C, which you can do now. And those efficiencies are super easy to create. So final words, Matt, is those efficiencies, like, you know, let's talk about the fact that there are non-tangible ROIs mm-hmm. that managers, leaders, team leads, investigators need to understand, right? These intangible ROIs are real.
Yes. Saving of the time, saving of resources, saving of frustration of your staff. Like you said, the toughest part of the day is going from place to place. You can minimize that. The other intangible is, you know, we service 7 plans, right? In New York, crossing that data and then visualizing providers in common amongst those plans and who the patients are. We just did that on a social daycare place, where looking at the data and then putting it together, visualizing it. It was about 400 people a day going to this place, where then we pulled up the Google map and we take a look at the place. It's an apartment complex. You know, don't even have a room big enough to hold 50 people, yet 400. You know, so it really makes the case.
Maybe it was a college party.
Well, they did rent the place out for dance halls at night, believe it or not. They were charging $3 a head.
Dance hall days, love. Yeah, it's great. You know, it's funny, and you know, we'll leave it with this, is that oftentimes the most low-tech thing is the most high-tech thing. And the example I like to get, I'll give is, I'm working on a project right now involving costs of care, personal injury case, where, you know, we have to figure out, like, what's it cost. And the biggest challenge is figuring out medication. We can look at the Medicare fee schedule. We look at Medicaid fee schedules. There's some benchmarking for commercial rates in different states. We can do all that. Hardest one is trying to figure out, what does this tablet go for? And believe it or not, while there's a whole bunch of stuff out there in the Medicare and the Medicaid space, it's very difficult to kind of figure it out because of PBMs. Good Rx, the most low-tech thing. You put in the drug, they'll tell you what it costs with Good Rx, and they'll even tell you what the average retail price is, and their benchmarking comes from about a half a dozen sources that they have, and they list them. So none of it's magic. It includes Medicare data, Medicaid data. It includes PBM data. It includes, you know, all this other stuff. So sometimes low tech is high tech, and, you know, you get it. Google Maps, Bing Maps, using existing things that don't cost a lot of money, create ROI because you're not having to make your money back by that expenditure.
Is GoodRx the one late at night that's selling Viagra for 89 cents a pill?
I don't know. Good stuff, man. As always, you know, it's hints, tips, and tricks. Sometimes it's just our experience of playing with things that kind of figure out where we're going, and we get to where we need to go. Don't reinvent the wheel. The wheel has already been invented. And so sometimes it's just a matter of putting your heads together to find where the right path is going to be, so that you get where you need to be with the least amount of work. No one is paid to, you know, we're all paid to work smart, right? Working hard is working smart, and that's where we want to be. So good stuff as always. Good to see you guys as always. Again, as I always like to say, thanks for tuning in. Every week, you can get our podcast delivered right to your inbox on Fridays, advize.com. Catch our newsletter right in your inbox, YouTube, Spotify. It's all right there. And we look forward to seeing you guys on the next OIG Roundtable. Thanks very much for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.